Waterloo by Bernard Cornwell.
This book has been made accessible under the Copyright Visually Impaired Persons Act 2002, 31B. Copyright in this recording for the accessible market vests in RNIB, Register Charity Number 226227.
Foreword. Why another book on Waterloo? It's a good question. There's no shortage of accounts of the battle. Indeed, it's one of the most studied and written about battles in history. From the close of that dreadful day in June 1815, everyone who took part in the slaughter knew that they had survived something significant, and the result was hundreds of memoirs and letters describing the experience. Yet the Duke of Wellington was surely right when he said that a man might as well tell the history of a ball, meaning a dance, as write the story of a battle. Everyone who attends a ball has a different memory of the event, some happy, some disappointing, and how, in the swirl of music and ball gowns and flirtations, could anyone hope to make a coherent account of exactly what happened and when and to whom? Yet Waterloo was the deciding event at the beginning of the 19th century, and ever since men and women have tried to provide that coherent account. There is an agreed story. Napoleon attacks Wellington's right in an attempt to draw the Duke's reserves to that part of the battlefield, then launches a massive attack on the Duke's left. That attack fails. Act 2 is the great cavalry assault on the Duke's centre-right, and Act 3, as the Prussians arrive stage left, is the desperate last assault by the undefeated Imperial Guard. To those can be added the subplots of the assaults on Hougoumont and the fall of La Haye-Sainte. As a framework, that has some merit, but the battle was far more complicated than that simple story suggests. To the men who were present, it did not seem simple or explicable.